get this all situated. Sorry for the noise. And I wear suspenders now. In Bradford, I have to be completely honest with you, we have a group of, well, older people that pretty much sustain the entire church. And if you don't wear suspenders in their church, you're nobody. So when I was in town about, well, last weekend, well, no, I guess it was further than that back, I decided that I would buy a pair, and I haven't worn them yet, but I told there's a fella in the church, his name's Floyd Confer. He always takes me to go get hot dogs, Texas hot place. And we go once a month, and he always wears suspenders everywhere he goes, so I told him that I would buy a pair just so I could be like him. So anyways, that's the story on the suspenders. Not that that was needed to be told. But if you'd open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to slide this up this way a little bit. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We'll talk a little bit this morning. What time is this over? I have about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You're timing me? All right. At least it's not a class anymore. I don't have to worry about the time as much. But we do have Sunday school after this. We're talking about true devotion this morning. But before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. Well, Lord, we're here for another wonderful day in your house. And Lord, here for the opportunity to worship you and praise you and love you. And Lord, we do. We love you more than anything. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with us this morning, be with us in Sunday school, be with Pastor Homer as he speaks and breaks the bread of life with us later this morning, and be with our activities this afternoon and this evening. And Father, just lift this place up and lift the churches around here too, Father. And just allow us to, when we leave these doors this morning, just allow us to be able to say that it was a blessing to be in your house with your people. Lord, we just praise your name, and we love you in your name. Amen. I don't know how familiar you are with this. Did you guys know about the tornadoes that went through Indiana here a few weeks ago? Did anybody hear the story of the lady who they had just bought a three-story house? And I don't know if you've heard this story or not, but a three-story house. And the husband was gone to work, and this tornado came through and completely ripped the house to shreds, and this mother was able to save her two children. Have you heard that story? You've heard the story about the lady who, the tornado came through, and she had a couple kids, I can't remember their ages, 8 and 5 or something like that, and this tornado was coming through, and the little boy started crying and saying, "Mommy, Mommy, don't let me die. Don't let me die. Please save me. Save me from this terrible, terrible thing." And so what she did was she grabbed this blanket, for those of you who don't know, she threw this blanket over her children and laid on top of her children during this tornado. The house, three-story house, brand new house, completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. I mean, they showed pictures. It was insane. Southern Indiana. House was completely destroyed. The two children left that rubbish, whatever you want to say, without a scratch. The mother, on the other hand, lost her leg from her ankle down on one leg and her knee down on the other, but was able to save her two children. Now, that story is pretty interesting to a lot of us, but that lady was the wife of the baseball coach of my brother-in-law, Matt Roberts. Kind of a family connection there. Really interesting. But the love that this mother showed and the love that this mother had for her children was so deep that she was willing to completely give her life for those children so they could live. And I couldn't imagine. Tornado coming through, I would hope that would be my first instinct. Grab a blanket, throw it over my kids, jump on top of my kids. I'd probably hurt them if I did that, but but the love that she showed was just phenomenal. And when we hear stories like this, you can't help but kind of feel that love that she must have had for those children anyways. You know, you personally can't help but kind of feel the love that she showed. And you know, to be completely honest with you, I mean, yes, that's the love that God showed us. But you know, that's the love that, how do I want to put this? That's the love that the Bible asks us to show towards God. Giving up everything of us, everything that we have for Him. The Bible calls to devote our lives to God, a devotion that enables us to give our all to God. Jesus even said in Matthew 22, verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Talking this morning on true devotion, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's go ahead and read it. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." You know, true devotion, I struggle with the idea that, I don't know how to put this. I think, for me personally, I struggle with the idea that we as Christians don't understand the command. I struggle with the idea that we don't understand what God is trying to say here, that we need to give our lives. The thing that I struggle with is I think we don't completely understand how we can truly devote our lives 100% and completely to the Lord. So that's kind of along the lines of what we're going to look at this morning. The way in which we can truly devote our lives to Christ. Real short. I'm not going to have 7 points and they're not going to be alliterated. Does he still do that? Yeah? I tell you. He's what? 8 points. Oh, man. Yeah, you know, Pastor Brad, when he speaks, his first 10 minutes are, and he even says this, so I can honestly say this. Pastor Brad, for those of you that don't know, is our conference superintendent. He's the senior pastor at the church that I'm working at now. He honestly says, you can tell him I'm saying this, that's fine. He says the first 10 minutes of his sermon are like a comedian act. You know, it's real broad. His perspective is he wants to start out here, and he wants to slowly work this way, to where he can really get you at the end. Pretty interesting. You know, it's really interesting to be in a different situation and see how different people view ministry and all that stuff. But anyways, we're going to look at 3 points. Our commitment, first of all, our focus, and finally, our thinking. 3 points, short, simple, sweet, we'll get you out of here, go to Sunday school class. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you," we're going to primarily look at the second part of it, but just look at the entire verse. "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Paul says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In this kind of situation, he's not necessarily talking about one, obviously he's not talking about one aspect of your life as compared to another. Okay? He's not talking necessarily, well, he's not at all talking about your actions as opposed to your thinking. He's not talking about the things you do as compared to the things you say. Really, in essence, what you could say here is Paul is actually saying, present your whole being a living sacrifice. Everything that you do, everything that you are, everything that you think, that you say, that you do, everything about you, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This kind of commitment is the entire commitment that is being talked about. We'll put it this way. All right. So anyways, you're driving down the road, and you look out the corner, you look out your side window, and there's a chicken walking down the street beside a pig. All right? They're walking down the street, and they look off to the side. I don't know what they're talking about. They're talking about something. And they look off to the side and they see a sign that says, breakfast benefit for the poor. So the chicken turns to the pig and says, hey, you know what we need to do? And pig goes, I don't know. What are you thinking? Chicken says, well, I think we should donate a ham and egg breakfast. Well, it's interesting. What do you think the pig says to the chicken? Yeah, exactly. I don't think so. Good luck with that. Have fun finding another pig that's willing to do that, but not this one. I'm certainly not going to do that, because for you, chicken, that means just a partial commitment. That means that you only have to contribute something. That's just maybe a little money in the offering plate. Or that might just be, oh, just an hour on Mondays. Or that might just be, oh, coming in on Sundays. But for me, a ham dinner, that is my entire life. I'm putting my whole life at stake here for something else. So, kind of a ugly way of looking at it. But that's exactly what is going on here is, that's what God wants. You know, no, the pig was not obviously willing to give up his life. And God's not asking us necessarily to die. But he's asking for a full and total commitment to him and his work. Secondly, we see the focus. Verse 2, the first part, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. You know, in today's world, I think a lot of times, well, really in any age, the biggest hindrance is the trappings of the world, okay? Or the trappings, let's put it this way, better yet, the biggest hindrance is the trapping of each age, okay? Whatever it might be. Today, it could be TV. It could be the internet. It could be the language that we use. It could be any possible trapping that we could have that could sway our focus from relying and looking completely upon God. Our focus is very, very important. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, the writer of the Hebrews says this, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And you know, I think a lot of times, especially when we get sucked in by these trappings of our time, whatever they might be. I mean, for what would be a trapping of our time? Video games. Very good. Could be. Yeah. Video games could be a trapping. There's so many things that could sway our focus from being on God to being on something else. Our focus, as we can see, is extremely important. And finally, we see in verse 2, the second part, 2b, we'll read the entire verse again. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to attest and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, when we come into that experience with Christ, He changes our thinking, which in turn changes our actions, which in turn change the things around us. Okay? But you see, what he also wants to do is he wants to become so involved in our lives that it's not just a changing of our actions, it's not just the changing of our thinking. He wants to change even the way we see things. All right? He doesn't He doesn't want us to see things the way the world does. It doesn't happen that way. When we become into that relationship with Christ, we see things in a different light, in a different eye. Just a couple weeks ago, in Bradford, we had a speaker, a phenomenal, phenomenal speaker, Dr. Stephen Manley. I don't know if the name rings a bell to anybody. He's an evangelist, a recently retired evangelist. His career started at Nazarene Bible College, which is where I'm attending. And he went, I'm assuming he went to school there. Do you know, Mom? I don't know either. But anyways, he was a professor there for a couple years. And then he decided that he was, you know, being called into doing evangelistic work. So he then traveled worldwide for years, has a new church that he has started, and it's a church plant that is really interesting because he brings in people, he brings in interns, if you will, and they work with him. And they learn from him, and he gives them opportunities to speak. Their church goes all week. There's a service every night. It's becoming kind of a school. Stephen Manley is his name. If you have a chance, look him up. He's really interesting. But anyways, he was talking a couple weeks ago in Bradford about the Pentecost experience, where the Holy Spirit indwells in us. And he's kind of an eccentric guy, just to be honest. He's a little out there. But the way he was speaking, he took ideas that were so difficult, not difficult, so easy, I guess you could say, complete opposite spectrum there. But he took ideas that were so easy to understand, put a new light on them, and made them seem profound. Okay? Here's what he said, and this is all coming from Acts chapter 2. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to test me on it, Acts chapter 2 kind of talks about the Pentecost experience. He said that when the Holy Spirit indwells in you, this is what happens. You no longer see things the way the world sees things. In other words, when the Holy Spirit enters you, God is literally in your eye. He is so committed to you, and you are so committed to Him, that He is literally in your eye. You see things kind of like a contact lens. You see things completely differently. And then he goes on to say that when this complete commitment has been made, that not only is He in your eye, He makes your life from head to toe, he makes you content with where you are in Him. And that contentment is not a contentment of the world. It's not a, you know, you finish a project and you kind of feel happy about yourself, and you know, you get excited and okay, well, that's done. It's off my chest. We're good to go. This contentment that is talked about is something that nobody can explain. It's a contentment that doesn't matter what happens in our lives, that we're still going to be happy because we know that Christ is within us. And then he goes on, and he continues. He just keeps talking about all these different things that are going to happen, these different experiences that you're going to have, these different feelings that you're going to have when Christ becomes so intricately involved in your life. And he continues by saying that in our lives today, and this is going to get a little confusing, so bear with me. It's not really confusing. There's just a lot of the same word being used multiple times. The world as we know it has become, in our eyes, normal, right? Walk down the street. You see a fight, you see whatever. Bradford, there's some weird things that go on the streets. But anyways, it's become pretty normal. We have taken our lives and converted them over to something what we feel in human eyes as being normal. Okay? And that's exactly what was happening when God came, when Jesus came to the earth. People thought, hey, this is pretty normal. Jesus comes, he's perfect. He lives the life of a perfect person. And what does everybody think? Yeah. Whoa, this is a little weird. You know? Look at him. He's supposed to be the Messiah. He's talking to that person. He's over here. He's doing this. He's doing that. This is not normal. This is not normal at all. So what has happened was, in their eyes and in our eyes, the world as we know it is normal. Christ comes, and he now becomes abnormal. When in actuality, the only normal being on the planet at that time was Christ. If this is making any sense. So what you're looking at is an abnormal world looking at a normal person saying, this certainly is weird. This can't happen. This has got to be abnormal. So Jesus walks the earth. He dines with the tax collectors. He helps all these people. And just like what Bill said, everybody's looking at him saying, this is weird. This guy, he's weird. And so, when in fact, Christ was completely normal. So, because of the state of the world, we saw it as being weird. So, let's see here. I've lost my place. You see, everything that is good in this world is viewed as being abnormal. When in actuality, Christ has made it completely normal. If this is making any sense, I hope it is, because it's making sense to me. And let's see here. So Christ lives on this earth, being viewed as being pretty weird, being abnormal when in fact he's normal. And so what happens is, Christ at the end of his life, what happens? He dies. Dies on the cross, is raised 3 days later. Even the disciples are saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute here. This is weird. This can't be. I don't understand what's going on here. You were just the one that... But not... It's normal. Christ is normal. The life that we can live in Christ. I don't care what this world says. It's never going to change. It's normal. Even if the person walking down the street says, we're weird, so be it. Because we know that Christ came to this earth and made it normal. When Christ created this earth, we were all supposed to be perfect. It was normal. The experience of Adam and Eve in the garden, which we're going to talk about this evening, hint, 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 God knew what had happened. God knew that they had sinned. But he's walking through the garden, and you're going to hear this story again. You're going to hear this story again. God's walking through the garden. He's saying, Adam, Eve, where are you? Where'd you go? I just left you here. Where are you? And what do they say? We're hiding. We're back here behind this bush. Why? Because they took everything that was normal and made it abnormal. Because of sin. You see, and then he continued, Dr. Manley continued, and said that God wants to be so desperately involved, we'll go that way. He wants to be so desperately involved in our lives that he's not just walking beside you. He's not just walking behind us or in front of us. He wants to be inside of us. He wants to be walking with us everywhere that we go, so we can, from this world, be viewed as being abnormal. That's exactly what Christ wants. He wants to be so desperately involved. Boy, I'm having trouble with that word today. And Pat can make sure that I'm right here. It's kind of like welding. Okay? When you weld something, what you're doing is you're taking two pieces of metal that are not connected in any way. Okay, you've got one in this hand, you've got one in this hand. When you weld something, what you're doing is you're heating up both pieces of metal so hot that they aren't just connecting, they're not just being glued together, their molecules are like this. Their molecules are so close, they're binding together so much that all of a sudden you don't know where one piece starts and one piece ends. We don't know where this piece begins and that piece ends. And that's what God wants. He wants to be so desperately involved. He wants to be so involved in our lives that when we're walking down the street, when we're in Walmart, when we're, you know, at Washington Square Shops. That's the name of your store, right? Okay. He wants to be so involved in our lives that people see it. You know, I am the vine and you are the branch. God wants to be so involved in our lives that it's not just an involvement. It's a total commitment. And that commitment starts with focus and thinking. And then it goes from thinking to a whole life change in living not just for God, but with Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Lord, my prayer is that we love You more today than we did yesterday. And we loved You more yesterday than we did the day before, and that we're going to love You more tomorrow than we do today. Lord, we want You to be so involved in our lives that we can't tell where we end and You begin, or where You begin and we end. Lord, we want You to be so involved in our lives, just like what Dr. Manley said, that You are in our eye, that we see things the way You see them. We want You to be so involved in our lives that it's unbelievable. We have a contentment that we will never be able to explain. We want to be so involved with You that it's not just some of You and all of us, or all of You and some of us. We want it to be all of You and all of us together as one. Lord, we love You. We love You more than we have before. And Lord, as we continue on these activities today, Lord, just help us to remember that You want to weld Yourself with us. You want Your DNA to be attached to ours. And Lord, we just need to remember that true devotement, true devotion is commitment, focus, thinking, and living. Help us to remember that. In Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. It's good to see everybody. I thanked Cindy, but I just want to thank everybody for their prayers. It's been an interesting road so far, and it's been exciting. And I'm glad to be back. This is the first time I've been back here with you guys in 7 months. So thanks for coming out this morning, and hopefully we'll see you tonight. Stick around. Sunday school, Pastor Homer's got a great sermon for us at 10:45.